It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome back, compadres. Welcome back, comrades, to the Access of Easy Lens making a face. We are not comrades here. We don't support that kind of ideology. My name is Joey Lennon, the other panel. Lots of stuff to talk about today. The latest and greatest in data breach and overreach. And buddy, what is going on? Happy Thursday night. One more day to go in the work week. How do you feel?
I'm good. I was going to get my daily Pravda mailed to me, but unfortunately, it didn't come in the mail. So I have no idea what's going on with the good folks at the head office. Not sure. You're aware of the Pravda, what it is, right? It's the
I am. Yeah.
Is it still in operation? I'd love to know.
I don't think so.
Because I was going to place, do a subscription. That'd be awesome.
It says it might be, actually.
Let's do it.
Yeah. It's hard to say. Pravda.rs. So it's a Russian site, but
Russia?
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't even know what that is.
Not sure. Svet, it says. I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. But no, tomorrow golf again, Joey. Still doing it. So it's all good, brother.
Nice.
And I plan to be out there with shorts. I'm sorry.
RS, by the way, Serbia. Republic of Serbia.
Serbia. Like, I would have never guessed RS is Serbia.
Yeah, me neither.
Oh, well. There we go. So we learn something new every day. What's the suffix of that? Yeah.
100%.
CH. What's CH, Joey?
.ch?
Yeah. It's another odd one. It's hard to get.
I don't know.
Switzerland.
Switzerland, really?
Yeah. So there's a few of them.
What's the Vatican City's? Do they have one? They're their own country, right?
They are. The smallest country in the world.
Let's see. Vatican City web suffix.
You ever been?
.va. They have their own. .va. Vatican. Wow. Really?
You ever been there?
No, I haven't.
It's quite a place, Joey. The amount of wealth that's in that, and that's, remember, it's in the, like, a country in Rome.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you're in Rome and you go walk.
There was a time when I was fascinated by it because I was reading all those Dan Brown books. I will say there's a clear double standard here. One guy with a gold palace, the leader of a religion, everything he says is revered. People love him. The other guy with a gold palace running for president of the United States, everyone hates him. Well, what is the double standard here? What are we talking about?
Well, he's like, let's be honest, he's been shot at. He has a bunch of children with a few different women. So, he's a man of the people, right? He's able to appeal to a large swath of people, us included, maybe, maybe not. Either way, it's, what were you, 2 weeks away, give or take?
Yeah.
To the election?
When's the election? The 7th, 8th, something like that?
3 weeks away?
It's going to be heat anyway. The only big thing left to drop is the two Rogan episodes, right? He did PBD today. I don't know if you watched that or not, Trump.
No, I don't watch that show.
It was pretty good. Pat went after him on a few things, but generally it was a cordial conversation. Long, too, about an hour and a half, which I like to see. Anyway, we'll talk about that another time. This week's, or last week's quote, I should say, if you don't read the newspapers, you are uninformed. If you do, you are misinformed. That's by Mark Twain. How did no one get that? Nobody got
and you
that?
Knew that.
I could have named it that minute. Wow, that's
I couldn't
bad.
Have, no.
Readership in shambles. The first condition of progress is the removal of censorship. That's this week's quote. If you know who that was by, put in the comments. If someone knows that and doesn't know the Mark Twain one, which may be or may not be correctly attributed, I'm not sure. I'd be shocked if someone got this one and not the Mark Twain one. But I mean, hey, what? Maybe it's just because you and me are operating
in the day
of fake news.
What's Mark Twain's real name?
I don't know. What is it?
Isn't it Samuel Clemens?
Is it?
Or am I wrong?
Samuel Clemens. Oh yeah, it is Mark Twain. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Samuel Langhorne Clemens. Wow, what a disrespectful name change that is.
No, Mark Twain is a great name.
I think it's a good pen name, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways.
All right. Where do you want to start? We got five stories. What are you thinking?
Let's do this US agencies being sued because America First Legal, the AFL, this is a non-profit organization, so keep that in mind. They're going to be locking horns with the U.S. government as they have announced they're suing them. So specifically, it's the U.S. Department of State, the State Department, the Agency for International Development, USAID, and the U.S. Department of Commerce. So they're going after those three different agencies. I hope AFL has really deep pockets, because let's be honest, you're going not just one, but all like three different agencies. I would imagine they're going to lawyer up to their necks, and they'll be able to defend themselves to the nth degree. So I'm not sure how AFL is going to be funding this, but either way, they're going to try doing it. Also, they're going to be pressing their luck in a court in the District of D.C. I wonder why they chose that district to file the suit. Is it because it gives them the best advantage because they found that laws are more advantageous for them? Or are they forced to do it because when you're suing the government, federal government, it has to go through D.C. court? I don't know. I'd love to know the answer to that, but I wasn't able to find it. But either way, the root of all this are claims that the U.S. government has, quote, involvement in recent global efforts to suppress free speech, end quote. And they're citing examples of the arrest of Telegram's Pavel Durov in France and the censorship that was impacting the social media in Brazil following the elections. And through the lawsuit, they're saying that the Biden-Harris administration, they're saying the White House themselves played a role in this, or at least had knowledge of that the arrest was coming for Durov. I'm not sure how it is that they thought of this, but they believe that's the case. And as for Brazil, remember, they were fighting stuff like disinformation and fake news during the election. They were, you know, decided to block slash ban X, depending on how you look at it. There was even talks if you were using a VPN to bypass that. In Brazil, you'd be subjected to hefty fines, but it turned out that they revoked that type of thing. But either way, the U.S. administration, I'm not sure how much of a role they had with that. It seems like they may be playing cozy with the new leader, the new president of Brazil. I believe it's a president. But either way, like they're going up against a huge monster here. It's like David versus Goliath. I hope that AFL has the funding able to support this type of legal case, because if they don't, they're just going to run out of funding. Their lawyers are going to walk away and they'll be left with their hands in the air saying, what did I do? And we can't go any further. This is not right. But like locking horns with the U.S. government, they're putting a mark on their back now moving forward. Like, I hope they're doing the right thing.
There's been lots of scandalous claims made against USAID over the years. That's the, you know, sort of specific agency that's referenced here. I can't say the same about the U.S. Department of Commerce, though it wouldn't surprise me if that was the case as well. USAID, you know, has been accused of rape, you know, having their people raping those in the third world that they're supposed to be helping. They've been accused of embezzlement. They've been accused of child trafficking. They've been accused of fathering children in some of these countries with different women diplomats or citizens. I mean, the list goes on and on. I don't have to cite the you know, the dirty details, but it's pretty crazy. Child labor, I think, too, among the other scandals. So, like, you know, when you look back at all the things USAID has been accused of, yeah, I think it's fair to suggest that at the very least they should turn over documents related to this accusation that they're trying to censor certain social media platforms. By the way, this isn't really the first time. Like, the one thing I'm confused about, why do they need a lawsuit for this? Like, isn't the default assumption that they are censoring every chance they get any negative commentary about their operation? Is that, I mean, shouldn't that be, this is the thing I don't understand, right? Like, when I look at this story, the first thing that comes to mind is what is the desired outcome for the AFL? The AFL knows that this is happening. It wouldn't exist probably if it didn't know this was happening and people didn't assume it was happening. You know, they wouldn't be donating and funding their operations, things of this nature, blah, blah, blah. So what do they want? They're looking for like a news story. They're looking for some traction, some Twitter likes. Like, what are they after? You know,
I guess for some notoriety for imagine they do this and they win. Yeah, I mean, like, that's a feather they could hang in there.
Maybe, but like, what does win look like here? Like, you know, is USAID going to say, yeah, we did one time censor social media because of XYZ? You know, are they going to give you the sort of the first course of the meal, but then send you home? Like, you're not going to get the steak turned over to you. You know what I mean? It's not going to come that easy from these guys. The U.S. government has been the subject of so many information requests and lawsuits and all sorts of things. How many of these things ever turn out to actually gain enough traction where, even if it's a win on the books, anything makes the news.
And I think that they were waiting, though, not waiting, they're going through the courts, and that's a different thing rather than having an admission from the United States government. They're trying to have it independent.
Who goes? Yeah, exactly. You're making the air quotes around impartial. I mean, the courts are just an arm of the U.S. government. Ask Ed Snowden how the courts work. Ask the people on the Epstein list how the courts work. You know, like, it's not really – the whole thing is a fraud. The whole court system. Ask Trump how the courts work. You know, like, it's a tool of the regime. I don't think that's such a big stretch, you know?
Well, to go back then, they're filing it in the District of Columbia. Is that a mandatory requirement?
It's got to be.
If that's the case, then that it sucks. But if they weren't able to shop by jurisdiction, find the laws that are the most favorable to them, then maybe they have a fighting chance.
Where would you go? Judge Judy or Judge Joe Brown? Those are really the only places you might get a fair shake. I think any of the district courts, you know, are not going to give you a fair shake on that subject matter.
Well, have you heard Judge Joe Brown talk in the past year or so?
About Kamala? Like,
just about anything. He has at least loose cannon.
Yeah, loose cannon.
He is. And he's a very interesting guy to listen to. And mm-hmm. I'm not trying to discredit Judge Judy or to downplay her.
Underrated TV judge Mills Lane, who was also a heavyweight. I don't know, maybe, probably. He was pretty old 20 years ago. I can't imagine he's still around. But he was a boxing judge or boxing referee too.
Yeah, let's get it on. He passed away 2022 December.
So. Oh, poor guy. It was so recent.
He was 85 years old when he passed. So he was nice.
life well lived.
Yeah. Anyways, let's move on to the European Union, a place where maybe one of us will call home one day, because there is something going on over there. This is the Child Sexual Abuse Material, CSAM. And this is some sort of scanning that is being proposed by the EU. so it's essentially they're going to be scanning everybody's chats to figure out if there's any CSAM in there. And I guess they're going to be using AI as a way to figure this out. But anyways, this is a draft proposal that is just, it's being conjured up and it's being talked about. And so it's going to be the requirement of the messaging companies to scan for the CSAM. And once they find it, there's a hit, it's going to be happening. They have to trigger this and report it to the authorities. And let's be honest, I wonder how this could go wrong for people that desire privacy and security.
Yeah.
And the European Commission is saying that, well, their argument, this is a necessary thing to protect children online. And so again, there's going to be a scanning. There will be a requirement for technology to scan messages for this. And like I said, there's going to be probably some AI that's going to be behind all this, but you know, there may be some false hits through the process. And if they're forced to report it, what's going to happen? Or what are they going to be looking for? Are they just going to end it from where they found the CSAM? But either way, like, this technology, once it's available and once it's implemented, it can be used for this, but it can be used for so much more. I mean, surely it's not going to just simply stop at this. What happens if somebody says something that is not favorable to the government of the day? Could they simply go snooping and going further into that and finding something? And then trying to pin some crime on them. Anyways, you look at this and they're using the guise of protecting children online. And I get that. But, you know, once the tool is available, it's going to be awfully tempting to use it moving forward. Stuff like Signal and Sessions and what's a Simple X?
Yeah,
these ones, you have to start using them.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not, you're just going to be asking for a world of hurt.
100%. Telegram's no longer private. You shouldn't be putting anything incriminating on there. The thing I'm surprised, I realize that TechCrunch is not offering an opinion on this, but they mention and kind of just leave it alone for you to follow the link if you want to. I'll just quote from the article. Concerns over the proposal are so acute that the bloc's own data protection supervisor warned last year that it represents a tipping point for democratic rights. The thing that it represents is the shift from guilty or innocent until proven guilty to guilty until proven innocent. You know, they're going to be going through your messages and looking for things that look like they're illegal. And I know it's for child, you know, what do you call it? CSAM? CASM?
Yes. CSAM.
Yeah. I don't even want to say the word, but you know what it's looking for. And the idea that they're going to stop there is like obviously a lie, obviously. you know, if you just kind of take a step back, okay, forget the chat encryption for now, but keep it on the back burner because we'll return to it. When you walk or drive through a major Canadian city, how many cameras do you see?
There's a ton everywhere. Intersections
are everywhere. They are everywhere. There was rumors here where I live that the police were rolling out these things called, I think, either sharks or dolphins that intercept plain text SMS messages when need be, using those same poles. So on one post, basically, you have a camera covering traffic, a camera looking into your windshield, and a unit to intercept text messages. The thing that people don't realize is that as technology proliferates in the home, right? You know, the cell phone in your pocket goes from costing $1,000 and doing three things to costing $1,000 and replacing your computer over the course of 5 years. Technology has proliferated other ways too. Putting a camera at every stop sign that was high definition, recorded tons of data, and sent back things like the facial expression you were making or whether or not you were texting was cost prohibitive 10 years ago. Now it's easy. And to suggest that these guys are going to stop at, you know, to return to the story, are going to stop at exploitative child material is wrong. It's never been the case that governments stop with the first thing they say they're going to, because there will be some other threat. I don't want to bring this up again. I feel like I'm talking about it too much, but you know, it's funny. We've talked about Australia putting in this law that criticizing or calling into question the stability of the banking system is going to become illegal. Well, why wouldn't they search your messages for that? And what if you are a Bitcoin owner? Why wouldn't they search your messages to see if they could tax you more unrealized gains? Or what if you're a homeowner who's renovating their home without a permit? Why wouldn't they try and get you to, like, the thirst for power is only surpassed by the thirst for funding and financing by governments. And this is a tool for both. The idea that they're going to stop is plain wrong. And if you don't find a tool that's going to work for you, SimpleX or Sessions, Signal, there are others too. There's a website, actually, I can't remember the name of it. It might be silent.tool or something like that. I have to remind myself, and maybe I'll tell Mark to throw it in the newsletter next week. That helps you find tools to meet the needs that you have, whether it's like buying eSIMs with Bitcoin or messaging apps that cost 10 Satoshis to use and then self-delete that are decentralized. Like, there's many options, but you can see here the clamps coming down rather quickly. We talk about that a lot. And the thing to keep in mind is always that the stated intention is never the actual intention. These two things are true no matter what.
Stay away from cameras. Wear masks all the time.
like what else can you do, right? By the way, you could not convince me, okay, that the reason the mask mandates went away so quickly is because it was affecting.
Oh, that's an interesting point, because in the state of New York, I think now you cannot
wear exactly one. Those mask mandates vanished it like so fast.
There's still people out there that wear them.
Yeah, there's a couple of losers power idiots out there who still wear them. Yeah, well, yeah, power. You say tomato, I say tomato. Power to them, losers and idiots, same thing. Same two sides of the same.
It's all in our power. Like, okay, let's go North Korea. What's going on?
Well, why not?
Yeah, well, they're software engineers and programmers. They're up to some interesting stuff, because the world was introduced to a new Linux variant of fast cache malware that targets payment switches in ATMs.
Is that a name? And can we rate that?
We can. The fast cache.
Where do you come down? Where do you come down?
Fast cache.
Does Western Union have a copyright on that already? They might.
One and a half, maybe two.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm going to go 1.7.
Okay, well, right in the middle. So fast cache is a malware that targets payment switches, right? And so it's designed to intercept and modify ISO 8583 transaction messages. These are used for debit and credit card processings in order to initiate unauthorized fund withdrawals. And the fund withdrawn per transaction ranges right now between 12,000 and 30,000 Turkish lira. That's around $350 to $875. So that's what you're getting out. So once it's installed on a payment switch, it intercepts and modifies the ISO 8583 transaction messages. And then it's able to modify the transaction to increase the amount of money that is withdrawn from the ATM. And right now it looks like there's a bunch of heists that took place in Turkey, and the malware was able to use to withdraw a particular one, 1.5 million lira from ATMs on a single day. That's $43,000. Inflation absolutely wrecked the Turkish lira. And this is another good reason why we should be using Bitcoin. I don't want to bring it up into this show, but I think it's a good idea. When you could rely on yourself to be your own bank, when you could deal with your own keys, control your own financial future, you don't have to deal with this type of garbage. And you know what? It's unfortunate that a lot of people were impacted by this, but there is the buyer of last resort. The central bank over there will make everybody whole as a result, thankfully. But every time they do such a thing, there's going to be a little bit more of the lira in circulation. So who's going to pay for this in the end? Well, everybody. So yeah, it's time to find something else that's a little bit more secure. And I suggest Bitcoin, maybe that.
Same. Why are people still using ATMs? It's hard for me to understand why you'd ever put your card in any public facing infrastructure. Like even at, I think this is part of the reason they introduced tap to pay. There's some convenience element, but also the number of times that you had those skimmers and gas stations, skimmers at ATM. Like I almost never take out cash anymore. If I do, then I have to use an ATM, but I'm careful to use only one that's at a bank branch as opposed to one that's just kind of sitting in a mall or sitting in a parking lot or at another store. I don't know. It's a Bitcoin story is what it is, honestly, even though we don't want to talk about it. We've often spoken on this show about how banks are becoming more and more of a liability and falling further and further behind in terms of securing funds, in terms of protecting their clients and users. This is another example. This is a significant one, I think. You know, it's hard to say that things are going well at banks when people are hacking into and using malware, hacking into ATMs and using malware to, you know, jack some dough from. It's crazy. It's nuts. It's completely nuts.
You got to hand it to the people the people behind us in North Korea, because this takes a lot of know-how to
deploy. That's probably one of the most secure systems in the world, right? It has the ATM network. I didn't realize, like, it's an ISO standard. So, like, to get, I mean, that's a lot of work, man. Everyone's looking at the same standard in terms of securing, and these guys managed to break it. That's brutal, brutal.
Yep. All right, let's talk about the Telekopi. I hope I pronounced this right.
Probably not, but.
We'll pronounce, pretend I called it correctly. So this Telekopi, it's a toolkit that's being utilized by scammers by targeting users of online accommodation booking platforms like booking.com and Airbnb users. And this enables scammers to conduct phishing campaigns through email and SMS by compromising legitimate hotel accounts.
Should have used EasyDNS.
The domain shared protection.
Yeah, and I believe 100%.
Last I checked, I thought it was $100, $99 a year for the professional side of things. So it's really not that much to give you a level of protection that, well, clearly these guys don't have. And if they had this way would never have been reported.
We would already be wrapping up.
But anyway, scammers use this toolkit, which I can't even pronounce, to compromise hotel accounts and gain access to customer data. And once they got the data, they were able to create highly targeted phishing emails and SMS messages. These messages may appear to be from hotel or booking platforms, and they contain links to malicious websites. So scammers were able to steal personal information like credit card information, passwords, you know, some of the stuff that you normally get through this. And they were maybe also been able to trick users into paying for accommodations that don't exist. So they went to pay for a hotel or an Airbnb or something, and they showed up. Hey, Mr. Jones, you're not booked over here. What are you talking about? I flew all the way from Dubai. Anyways, users are recommended to be cautious about clicking on links in emails, especially in SMS messages. Never provide any information over the phone or online unless you're absolutely sure you're dealing with a legitimate source. And that's getting harder and harder to do these days. But you know, you got to be vigilant and have the guard up at all times. And it's too bad these people are going to get wrecked as a result, because their information, looks like, is now in the hands of these scammers.
What can you say except should he use domain share? There's not much to add to this. Like it's a common attack vector. We've talked about it a lot. ESET NOD is a great set of antivirus software as well. Like shout out to them. We basically have two frequent flyers in terms of retail facing antivirus programs whose research teams find these issues. One is Kaspersky, banned, Russian, not allowed. The other is ESET. And like I said, Node 32, NOD 32 is like one of my favorite antivirus programs. Can't even book a hotel, Len. There are no sacred grounds left. You know, like this is the end of the end of the internet. I get it, the bank and the hospital, power plants, but now even your Airbnb, not safe. Giving money away.
Have you ever used an Airbnb before?
Are you kidding me? I'm a millennial. I thought Airbnb was, I was around when Airbnb was better than hotels. Now it's not, but I was around when it was.
And why is it not anymore?
It's too expensive. And also like you get a laundry list of things you have to do for the owner. This is like a meme going around that, you know, when it's like the, you know, the Chad dog and the sad dog, you know, next to each other.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The Chad dog is, you know, don't, or the sad dog is, make sure you take out all the garbage. You have to water my plants. Make sure the lights are turned off. Don't turn the AC below 69. You have to do the sheets. Sheets have to be in the laundry before you leave. If you don't do all that stuff, it's a $400 service charge. And then the hotel, the Chad dog is just make sure you're out by 11. But if you're not, that's okay. It's standard. The hotel is just so much easier. And all these Airbnb hosts, they just think that you're there to do their chores for them and pay them $200 a night to live in the poor part of the city for the weekend.
That's not a bad gig if you own a place. I mean,
if you can get people to go. Don't forget, a lot of cities are banning Airbnb too, right? Like it's not long for this world, this strategy of renting out rooms in your house. Unless you're importing foreign students, then that business is booming. But if you're just trying to get people to hang out in a party area for a weekend, maybe not so much. Maybe not so much. Especially with like, Airbnb was really ripping before the proliferation of stuff like Uber, right? So now it's, you know, an Uber is like $10 to get around most of the town. Even here, it's like $10 or $15. You can go basically anywhere in the city. And so do you really want to pay an extra $300-$400 for the weekend and have to worry about killing someone's cactus? No, you don't want to do that. It's not worth your time.
See, Uber were blocking the, which I don't know which terminal, but it was Pearson International.
Oh, I did see that story today. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what they're asking for, and I'm not sure exactly which terminal, if it was departures or arrival. I have no idea, but it just looked like, what the heck are they doing? Like,
I don't know, guys. Who knows?
Anyways, let's talk about this zombie fork, because there's an ongoing legal dispute between WP Engine and Automatic, and that's Automatic being the parent company of WordPress. Mm-hmm. So as this case, it will continue to unfold, because there's an ongoing legal dispute. The prospect of this, the end result could be what they call, quote unquote, a zombie fork of the WordPress code. So the dispute here, like the crux of this, is that WP Engine use of the WordPress code base in its managed WordPress hosting services. So Automatic, as the primary developer and maintainer of WordPress, said that WP Engine used the code and it constitutes a violation of copyright law. WP Engine, on the other hand, they're saying that the use of code is fair use and essential for providing its hosting services to customers. So this idea of the zombie fork, it refers to a scenario where the WP Engine, because it could face some potential legal repercussions, they can decide to modify the existing version of the WordPress code. And the modified version, although functionally would be similar to the original, would be distinct enough to avoid copyright infringement claims. And so by thus creating this zombie fork, WP Engine could potentially rebrand and they could operate without paying any royalties to Automatic. And this is pretty crappy stuff for those who built the original code. So the zombie fork seems pretty drastic, but this is not without precedent, because this is open source we're talking about. Forks have come and gone all the time, Bitcoin too. So this stuff happens quite often. So yeah, this is just very interesting stuff. So this challenge still going through. We haven't heard it yet. There's no finality, but once it comes out, we'll know if indeed there may be a zombie fork. But like I said, it's pretty crappy for the people that created the original software, the coding itself. But then again, we're dealing with open source software. If you look at it, and depending on the way the copyright is set up and the way the laws are set up, if you change it enough and you're able to change it, and you're able to satisfy the courts in terms of it's not a copyright infringement, you're able to do this. This is the world of open source. It sucks, but this is the reality of it. And hopefully a better product will result of it. And if that's the case, customers and users are going to be the beneficiary of it.
Yeah, it'll be a pain at first, right? There'll be some differences, but I mean, this is what you sign up for. This is not unique to, you know, WordPress and Automattic, or WP and Automattic, I should say. You see this a lot, famously in the Bitcoin world, you know, between Coldcard and all these other wallet providers, Trezor specifically, among others. You know, this claim that Coldcard took the open source stuff and then basically closed it off with, I think, a Creative Commons license or something like that. I forget. But yeah, this is what you sign up for, man. The rule of thumb, as I've said before, maybe on our show, maybe on this show, I forget, is to really draw someone away from a product, you have to be 10 times better. So the understanding that, you know, or the expectation would be that people sort of stay where they're comfortable here. But, you know, Len, the fix for this really is just for these guys to continue as they are, I think, right? It sounds to me like there's not any sort of lucrative amount of money being made here by anybody. And the article notes that one of the benefits of, you know, the highest upside for WP Engine, enrage Matt Mullenweg. Like, it's like a, you know, and the article calls it a pissing match too. Maybe that's accurate. Maybe this is just a battle of egos more than anything else, right? I think that's probably the case. It doesn't sound like there's any real fortune to be made here. So whatever. I'm not too worried about it. I will say the picture from Night of the Living Dead and then the Bruce Lee Enter the Dragon clip at the bottom really make the page a lot easier to get through.
Is he still alive?
Bruce? I think so, right? No, he's not. He's dead.
That's the thing. Well, this is now 45 years ago or so.
Oh, you're asking me if I think he's like Tupac or something.
Or Elvis or whoever Elvis, else is. Elvis. That guy's got to be 110 by now.
Yeah, I think they're all dead. That guy was having too many Danishes. Anyway, that's it. That was number 372, the latest and greatest in data breach and overreach. And don't forget, sign up for the newsletter, sign up for the YouTube channel, watch, listen, read, do whatever you want. Make sure you get all this info. It's good for you. It's not quite chicken soup for the soul, but it will help you protect your website and, you know, keep things safe around your network residence. So I'm Joey, that's Len, and we'll see you next week.
Sign up now.